Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Middle hour on a Wednesday, middle part of the week. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. Willie P and Diesel here with you in for Surge on ESPN Upstate. ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Plenty to get to. South Carolina taking on Alabama Saturday, 3:30 CBS. Clemson on ABC facing Syracuse night game Central New York. Very, very excited about both of those games this weekend. Little bit of the sheen off the Syracuse game, to be brutally honest, because of the Orange basically crapping it and not necessarily getting themselves in good shape with a trap game when it came to the loss to Maryland. Maryland?
They didn't just lose to Maryland.
They got smacked. They got slapped. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Bad. Just a bad loss. I'm sorry. It was... I say this as somebody who came from the Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. I knew a lot of Maryland fans growing up. Even they looked at that game and they were like, really? We thought our football program was in disrepair. Now all of a sudden, Mike Loxley has them somewhat reborn and resurgent. So we'll see if they actually can come to pass something actually big. Because I think Maryland, who do they have next? They've got a couple of games against actual football teams this upcoming week, or this in the coming weeks. Although they play Temple next, so that's not one. They'll play Penn State in 2 weeks.
You think Maryland will pull a Georgia State,
which is
they play really well, you know, beating Syracuse and then just fall flat the next week. Granted, Georgia State did come back in the first half. They looked really awful against Furman.
They looked awful. Was not a good showing for America's team, the Georgia State Panthers. Who does Georgia State have this week? In fact. Now that I find myself looking up random schedules of football teams, because I find this now all very fascinating. Georgia State next week is at Western Michigan, so got to go win on that road.
Little Fun Belt versus Maction action.
Last year, the Panthers fell behind 20-9 by halftime, 34-9 in the fourth quarter, and a 34-15 loss. Way more on Georgia State than you ever wanted to hear. On Upstate Radio. We're asking you the question now on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. By the way, we're going to talk to Torrey Gurley about 15 minutes from now, the former Gamecock wide receiver. He was on the last team that beat Alabama and played Alabama for South Carolina in 2010, the quarterback team by Steven Garcia. We'll ask him what went into that game and what has to go into this one for the Gamecocks in order to pull an upset against the number two team in the country coming to Willie B this weekend. But we're asking you now on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, the two coaches who I think are singularly on the hottest of seats between the college football powers that used to be Florida State and Tennessee, Willie Taggart of the Noles, Jeremy Pruitt with the Volunteers. Which one will go first? This is a fascinating discussion for me on a couple of fronts, because you have Taggart, who coaches the most undisciplined-looking group that I've ever seen in college football. Like, really, like if you look at the way they play, they take unnecessary roughness penalties, late hit penalties, unsportsmanlike penalties, and make the kind of errors that you would expect an FCS team to make playing against an FBS team. Like, they look almost as disciplined as Charleston Southern, no offense to them, looked against the Gamecocks on Saturday, by no fault of their own, because they are stepping up in a completely different class of competition than they are used to playing.
Do you remember that epic episode of South Park? I think it was surrounding one of the presidential elections where the kids had to choose a new mascot for their school, and their you remember what their choices were?
Refresh my memory.
Are we clear to say this on the air? One was a giant douche. The other was a turd sandwich.
Yes. I'm letting you walk the line.
Okay.
Letting you walk the line.
But that's your choices between, you know, between Taggart and Pruitt.
Yes. Well,
or their seasons so far at their institutions.
Pruitt is starting to look a lot worse in my mind after the news we read you last hour, where it seems like still unresolved issue involving the arrest for domestic assault, Bryce Thompson, after an indefinite suspension. The indefinite suspension only lasted a couple of weeks, where he was basically still facing a misdemeanor charge and has a preliminary hearing scheduled for September the 23rd. We're wondering if he'll be permitted to play against Tennessee Chattanooga on Saturday.
And that doesn't look like an infinitely winnable game for Tennessee.
Well, after losing to Georgia State and BYU, I don't think any game is winnable for Tennessee right now. So I'm wondering if this is Pruitt panicking because he needed somebody who was basically a starter for him at defensive back down the stretch, who is still involved in a – and again, I don't know how you determine guilt in a situation with this. You know, all the facts are not something necessarily we are privy to. But given the police report where basically Thompson and a woman who he's in a relationship with, where he told the woman he would slap the you-know-what out of you, and also he was threatening to, quote, shoot up the school, this is a person you want to let back and play your football? I mean, that to me screams an incredible amount of tone deafness on my mind from Jeremy Pruitt. Like, at least let the guy go through the legal process first before we talk about letting him back on the football team. Like, that to me reeks of garbageness. So I'll put those two kind of things in a vacuum for you. Keep in mind this as well for Tennessee. Tennessee is also still paying the buyout of Butch Jones. However, Tennessee also has a tailor-made replacement ready at the helm in 69-year-old director of athletics Philip Fulmer, which many believe would be the route that Tennessee would go, because Tennessee, as a rule, is incestuous by nature. The only other university that's as incestuous as Tennessee and as high off their own supply as Tennessee is Southern Cal, who just fired its third straight former athlete as an athletic director, and no one feels any particular confidence in their ability to hire another administrator of that ilk, or at least of any positive ilk, so to speak. Taggart, I don't know what you do. Because I also wondered from the standpoint of Taggart, like how he was able to get the kind of traction that got him this job, honestly. Like, his overall coaching record at Western Kentucky was 16-20. He did go 7-5 in his last two seasons, but like that's a very limited sample size. He goes to South Florida. These are his records at South Florida: 2-10, 4-8, 8-5, and then 11-2. And then he goes to Oregon, is 7-5, and last year at Florida State, 5-7, and now 1-1, eking out a game against ULM, by the way, where they came into some fortune after some bad misfortune on special teams for ULM. 53-58, this guy is all time.
You almost wish there was like a rookie pay structure for Power 5 head coaches, for first-time Power 5 head coaches. Because that's what Power 5 does.
Right.
You're struggling at whatever school you may be at. We're talking about Florida State and Tennessee. So you're struggling. So you look down at the FCS, not the FCS, but the Group of Five ranks and see who's doing really well. Mm. And now it's a race to see who can snatch them up first. And that's exactly what happens with a lot of these coaches. Some of them pan out. Most of them don't. But, I don't like this trend of hiring offensive coordinators who have no head coaching experience, mm-hmm. especially at a Power 5 level. That's why you drop down to a Group of Five to get that head coaching experience so that you can prove if you've got it or not. Maybe all you are is a really great coordinator, and that's fine. But at least you know that before you drop, you know, millions of dollars hiring this guy.
It's very odd for me to look at it, and I'm wondering what exactly has Willie Taggart who does he have naked pictures of? Honestly, to be getting all these jobs, like he must have a naked picture depository that rivals Hefner, man. Because he apparently has failed upwards. He was under 500 at Western Kentucky, under 500 at South Florida, went 7-5 in one season at Oregon, and then departed in each of these three instances for the school that he succeeded at before the bowl game. He's coached in only two bowl games. Actually, only one. I'm sorry. He's coached in one bowl game, and though he's led four teams, two bowl games, he's only coached in one of them.
What's that old saying? A fool and their money is soon parted. That's what's going on with big time Power Five programs who are just desperate to go out and get the next hot name. And the media is a part of it.
Right.
You know, pushing. Oh, look what he was able to do at Western Kentucky.
Now, granted,
Western Kentucky is the dregs of college football.
I will say this. Each of the schools had to come into their hirings in two different scenarios. Like Jimbo Fisher, apparently, whether it was all about the money at Texas A&M or some sort of falling out of favor with his superiors there. Again, I don't know if we'll ever know the full story behind Fisher's departure, whether it was just simply about the 10-year, $75 million deal he got from the fine folks in the oil money of College Station. Remember those crazies that we came across on Saturday or on a Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning in Simpsonville?
Yeah, a lot of people just stare at you with wide eyes.
Yeah. I think the one yell leader had his eyes on you on your girlfriend. It's a little weird.
No, he didn't get her, so
I was a little worried about it. I was a little worried there might have been a situation, a scenario, especially when he started talking about Leroy.
Wait, I didn't want to have to beat up a sweaty guy in overalls.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a good look for you. I'd have had your back. But yeah, the Tagger situation happened because of the Jimbo stuff. The fact is that they fired an absolute dweeb at Tennessee in Butch Jones. Like, Butch Jones was about the most incompetent game manager that you could possibly have at a school. Like, that's the other thing. He misused talent. I've never seen somebody misuse talent at the level that Butch Jones did. And the problem is that Jeremy Pruitt, quite honestly, I wonder how much football competence he actually has. Because he didn't get any of it by osmosis from Nick. And I'm wondering, too, like, this is going to call into question a lot of kind of where the Nick Saban coaching tree is, because it's very inconsistent. Because there are some success stories, immediate, like, of course, looking at Kirby Smart, very, very different. But there are obviously people who look at this and say, you know, Mark D'Antonio was one because he was there at Michigan State while Saban was. Jimbo is part of that. Will Muschamp is part of that. Derek Dooley is part of that. Jim McElwain is part of that. Lane Kiffin is part of that. Jeremy Pruitt is part of that. Kirby Smart is part of that. It's a mixed bag. I mean, who would you say is a success out of that group that I just listed to you? Three guys? D'Antonio, Fisher, and Smart?
And the funny thing is, if I'm still shocked that nobody came and snatched up Lane Kiffin after his one really good season at FAU.
Hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of. After the fails that he'd already had, yeah. I know a lot of programs were like, "Well, let's see if he can do this like two or three years in a row."
Yeah.
But it's all, you know, again, it's all FOMO. It's all fear that the next guy, somebody else, is going to hire the guy that we're looking at. The question is, are there really only about 20 really good coaches in college football?
Yes. Yes, there are, and quite honestly, you could say the same thing about the National Football League. If it's 20 out of 130, it's about a sixth, about one sixth. would you say? That's the right proportion there. Willie P, not good at math. And if there's 32 teams in the National Football League, 1/6 of 32 would be about 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, there are really probably only 6 or 7 really good head coaches in the National Football League, I would argue. Belichick, Peyton, put McVay in there. Who else would you put in there? Who else would you put among the elite head coaches in the National Football League?
Tough to say. You said Peyton.
Yes. Peyton being Sean. Sean,
yes.
Peyton. Would you say Tomlin? Some would argue on Tomlin.
Andy, I don't know that he's elite, but he's close to it.
All-time record 654. And came to his, and he's got a Super Bowl championship. I would say, some would say Pete Carroll, Peterson, maybe. Andy Reid. Well, that's obviously up for debate for a lot of people. Although I think he's finally gotten to a point where he's jumped it. Even John Harbaugh, a guy who has a Super Bowl, I wouldn't call him an elite head coach. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Text line open, 71307. One person says Andy Reid. That's one that if you look at it and you say, yeah, you probably have to put him in that category now because he's done it at two different places, although, again, he's still looking for that elusive Super Bowl. Coming up, we'll talk to our good friend Torrey Gurley, former South Carolina wide receiver, on the game that was 9 years ago, the last time South Carolina played Alabama and consequently beat the Crimson Tide at Williams-Brice Stadium. He was there and tells us what it will take for South Carolina to pull off the deed again. Willie P and Diesel here with you on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm glad I got it in before the guy deletes it on Twitter, because I found the biggest jerk on that social media platform. I'll share that with you here in about 20 minutes. But first, I'd like to welcome in back to the program our good friend Torrey Gurley, who joins us now on ESPN Upstate. He, of course, the former Gamecock wide receiver, joined us last week. And, you know, we talked to you last week, Torrey, and heard about all the news involving Ryan Helinski. What'd you think of the kid's first appearance in college football last week?
For the team and for their confidence, having the opportunity to go out and warm up and, you know, get in the game against Charleston Southern. But it's nothing to really get extremely excited about, because those kids from Charleston were out there playing with heavy hearts. You know, unfortunately, with the situation going on with Hurricane Dorian, I think they weren't thinking about a football game at the time. I think they had bigger problems that were probably on the first of their thoughts, and, you know, just prayers and my thoughts go out to the people affected by that storm that hit recently last week.
Certainly, and ours are certainly echoed by it. You, of course, were on the team that pulled the upset 9 years ago. What do you remember about the preparation and lead up to that game?
First times I went in Coach Spurrier's office and he didn't have his golf clubs in his hand. Usually he's working on his short game and putting, but that week in particular, when we went up and talked about install one of what we wanted to do against Alabama, he thoroughly went through it from start to finish. And from there, guys were locked in, we were focused, and there wasn't a doubt in our mind that we were going to go out and shake up the college football world that Saturday.
How different was Garcia that week?
it was himself. You know, I can't sit there and say that he did something different. He was always, you know, he was a guy that he just enjoyed college and he loved football. So it, with him having that attitude of always being true and authentic, I think it was easier for us to rally around that. And we really watched it unveil game day. You know, when we sat there and watched Lee Corso put the Alabama hat on when College Game Day was making their picks. And I just remember that look Garcia had on his face. It was that determined look of going out and being able to be world beaters. And that's what ultimately we end up doing. I mean, this guy was locked in, made some big throws. Even a lot of people still remember the safety that he took, but I think that was one of the smartest plays. Because if you go back and go look at a steal shot, or if you go watch the film, you'll see that there was an Alabama defender right there on his backside. And if Garcia wasn't locked into the game, he could easily turn the ball over, and that could have led to a touchdown instead of us giving 2 points and putting the ball back and letting our defense play field position from there. So it's probably one of the most memorable moments of my sports career, is being able to get that win against the number one ranked Alabama.
Talking, of course, with Torrey Gurley, the former Gamecock wide receiver here on ESPN Upstate. He was on the field there for that game. At what point did you believe, and again, I know that you as players always believe that you can win every game that you play, but at what point during that game did you believe that, hey, this is something that can really happen?
I think our defense went out, held them to three. We went on a 70-yard drive and scored. And literally everything what Coach Spurrier talked about in a meeting with being able to exploit Alabama's secondary. Obviously, we knew they were strong up front with their defensive line and backers, but we felt we had the advantage with the receivers we had, with our skilled players. We had guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Patrick DeMarco, Jason Barnes, myself. You can even throw Marcus Lattimore in there, and Ace Sanders. When we knew we could beat them with speed and space, that's what truly played into our advantage. And when we went down and scored, really William Bryce Stadium took over from there. Defensively, they couldn't hear a snap count. You know, every time Alabama went on the field, it was so loud there. It was just, we probably hit every decibel count you could hit known to mankind. So with us having that home field advantage behind us, and then when we were on offense, having that confidence of after that first drive, guys being in rhythm and clicking, it was easy from there. And I just never forget being able to look in the eyes of a young 18-year-old Marcus Lattimore. I mean, this kid grew into a man that day. And no matter how many Alabama defenders were trying to tackle him and bring him down, he was always falling forward. And literally, he just imposed his will on a team, on that Alabama defense. And we all just followed suit. You know, it felt good to be the hammer instead of the nail.
Talking with Torrey Gurley and, of course, the former Gamecock wide receiver here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. South Carolina will renew that game against Alabama this weekend. What is the avenue for this team to pull off the same type of sorcery y'all did 9 years ago?
A complete team effort. You can't have one player, you can't have nine players playing well. You're going to need all 11 on offense, defense, and special teams. And you're also going to need hell of a coaching. Obviously, what we saw against the Tar Heels week one, or what we watched in the bowl season against Virginia, that's not going to cut it going against a superior team of Alabama, because they are well coached. They have some of the best guys that in the country, and they're established, and they understand what it takes to win. So it's going to take South Carolina to be able to match that intensity and be able to to understand how to play chess. You know, it's not checkers. So hopefully we can get our whoever it is, our key players, our special players, get them the ball and get the crowd into the game. Because if we wait and pray that someone makes a play, then eventually the fans are kind of going to get down on it. You know, what we want to see as fans is we want to see the team go out and be able to put a drive together and be like, all right, we look like we belong here. Because the past few ranked games we've all been a part of at South Carolina, in the first quarter, it usually goes bad. So we're looking for a solid first drive, first quarter, to where guys can have that morale to continue to feed off that energy, and hopefully, you know, you give yourself a shot if you don't beat yourself.
You know, it's weird, Torrey. We've seen kind of these freshman quarterbacks become en vogue now over the last couple of weeks. You know, 12 of them started the season at starting positions, and 9 of them won through the first week plus of college football. I'm wondering how much of that Will Muschamp and Brian McClendon can draw on to Ryan to be like, hey, you know, this is the kind of atmosphere and this is the kind of place where you could thrive with your game based on obviously what was a successful tune-up against the Buccaneers last weekend.
I agree with that. I'm not going to put that type of pressure on him because last week was a warm-up game and this week you're going against – this is a measuring stick. You're going to find out what type of player you are, during this game and after the game. There's so many guys that they may talk the talk, but you really, when we watch it as fans and obviously when they play it, we're going to be able to see, okay, who's really out here making plays against NFL caliber players, because it's going to show. You don't have to go out and beat your chest or – tell everyone to look at you. We're going to be able to see it. And if those guys can go out and just hang around and stay in the game, that'll give you confidence alone. You know, it's one of those things like whenever you play against a buzzsaw in Alabama or Georgia, they're going to come with a big shot. They're going to hit you with everything they have in the first quarter, because usually a lot of teams just kind of put their tail between their legs after they feel like, oh man, we can't compete with them. But if you can really follow your game plan and have a legitimate scheme where guys can go out there and execute it, it can truly give you an opportunity to go out and play above your head, because the crowd is going to be into the game. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is someone has to make a play early and often so you can keep the crowd into it, because if not, you don't want to see South Carolina fans start cheering for Bama and getting to a Heisman Trophy vote because he's out there throwing these crazy touchdown passes. So I think it's going to be huge for guys to really hit the ground rolling on Saturday at 3:30.
We're talking, of course, with Torrey Gurley, the former Gamecock wide receiver, and I just want to make sure that I'm being fair and not parsing your statements incorrectly, but when you said it takes a full team effort, including the coaching, do you think there are times where this coaching staff potentially holds this team back in certain situations?
We sat back and watched it in the fourth and inches against North Carolina. You know, I'm looking at it just like a fan, but I've also seen it through the helmet of a player. And I can understand how pivotal a fourth and inches could be against any team, and how it can give you the morale to keep going, or it could really shut you down offensively to where you're like, man, our coach doesn't believe in us. We got to go out and punt it. And ultimately, the worst thing happened to our team when it happened. They went out, pinned them deep, and then they went on a 95-yard drive. And obviously, you know, you play your odds and you think you can go out and get a stop. But offensively, that's something I did love about Coach Spurrier, is that whenever he had a chance to go for it, he really put his trust in Garcia and in Marcus Lattimore. And that only just, you know, that was contagious for us as a team. And we felt like we didn't want to let our coach down if he believed in us to put the game in our hands. And that's something we all wanted, and that's something that we earned by just going out and competing as hard as we could every Saturday.
Is that just a DNA thing, Torrey, just between, you know, Spurrier being more of an offensive guy and Muschamp being more of a defensive guy? You only know what you know, and the fact that it seems like he knows defense, he'd rather have the defense on the field. Do you think that's something that is overcomable, if you will?
Is the defense, you know, it's more of a Brian McClendon thing. Obviously, he's only been offensive coordinator for a year and a half, and he's still filling it out himself. You know, he this is his first time doing it, so I'm quite sure he's, he's up there charting plays, and sometimes he might overthink things, but I'm just hoping he can find a scheme where we can have a true identity. Whenever I watch South Carolina football, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're a team, if we're going to come out in a spread offense. I don't know if we're going to line up in the eye and run the ball. I don't know when it's fourth and inches. Are we going to be in a shotgun, or are we going to try to QB sneak it? So I'm just hoping that he can find something that Ryan Helinski does well, something that Joyner does well, and we just stick to it, and we make Alabama conform to that. Because if we go out and try to experiment and throw all this crazy stuff out there, it ends up turning into bad football. So I'm just hoping we can have some consistency and get our playmakers the ball. You know, I challenge guys like Brian Edwards to go out and go play like an all-SEC guy. You know, get Shaw Smith some targets. Got to run Feaster. The way he played against North Carolina, I mean, you got to let the guy just run the ball. I mean, he was getting 5-6 yards a clip, and then he also had some explosive runs. And that's something you got to keep doing. You know, when you feed the beast, you know, that's how you get the offensive line involved, and that's when football becomes a lot of fun.
Of course, you can hear his stuff with us whenever we get a chance to talk to him. Will you be in town this weekend, Bud?
Game Saturday. You know, I'm going to sit back and enjoy it with Garcia. You know, obviously we have so many stories and so many memories of that game, but I just want those guys in Columbia to experience the things I experienced when it came to winning. You know, that type of game, the school will always remember, and that's something that brought a lot of people together. And I'm quite sure, you know, you have your own story of where you watched the game at and how you guys celebrated. Just like, you know, we have our personal stories of being in the locker room or being in a nightclub or walking around campus and just enjoying that opportunity of knocking off a number one team.
Well, when you do see Garcia, just try to keep him on a leash. That's all.
He can do that, man. That guy's – I would need Columbia Police with some handcuffs and everything else, man. That guy's still the same, but he's our leader. We love him. And he's a gamer. I mean, that's something that he was able to do. And he took a lot of flack from fans, but the games where you needed him the most, he showed up. And he's the only quarterback in South Carolina history to get us to the SEC championship game. You know, I admire all the other guys and Connor Shaw and Dylan Thompson. But to me, Garcia is the guy because he took us to the promised land, even though we didn't win it. And that's something we still talk about is, man, we wish we could have kept that team together to try again the following year. But until someone gets the guys back in Atlanta, you know, I'll always look at Garcia as he's the GOAT in my eyes.
Torrey Gurley, former Gamecock wide receiver. We'll see you this weekend, man. Appreciate the time as always, and look forward always to our chats.
Thank you.
That is Torrey Gurley joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, on the Radio.com app. So you heard it here first, CPD. It's going to be a hard weekend for Stephen Garcia. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number, 71307. We'll hear from some Clemson Tigers and what exactly it takes to kind of get up for this Syracuse game against a team that has been a bit of a bugaboo for the Tigers over the last couple of years. And we'll hear from Amari Rodgers, the man who came back last week, just 6 months removed from ACL surgery. How did he do it? He tells you his best case scenario of how and why next on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It Text line's open, 71307. Texter from the 864 says, Gurley seems very intelligible on the coaching and what aspects need to be changed. Wish he would have a meeting with Muschamp. By the way, don't worry, everybody. I found the biggest jerk at Twitter.com. This is a guy who goes by T. Renault. He was apparently taking issue with my opening statement of the program where I said Will Muschamp needs to allow for Ryan Helinski to speak to the media because Ryan Helinski and his cause, Helinski's Hope, is a very, very important and worthy cause for him to be able to talk about, especially with yesterday being World Suicide Prevention Day. And, of course, him talking about his brother Tyler taking his own life, I think would have been beneficial to those who need to hear the issues regarding mental health. So this guy goes, so Willie, how many members have ended their lives in your family? At least two? Your mother? I can try to educate a dumb person. I'm not going to say that word on the radio. How many rules do you disagree with Dabo? Will Muschamp has a rule not for you to judge, just us fans who help pay his salary. Well, I think when the man is 23 and 18, I'm allowed to judge whatever the heck I want because I don't think he's...
That is such an odd hill for somebody to go die
like,
on.
Like, this ain't it, dude.
Really? You don't have a right to comment on it because, A, you don't have suicides in your family, and, B, you don't pay Will Muschamp's salary.
And quite honestly, he doesn't either. Gamecock Club donors pay his salary, unless this gentleman is a Gamecock Club donor.
Are you telling me it's that $150 you donate every year that pays Will Muschamp's salary? Right. I don't think so, bro.
And this guy also retweeted what I said and said, biggest jerk on the radio, what do you need to know from Ryan now that hasn't already been discussed? You're just another stupid sports talk dude. I think you're a stupid dude myself, quite honestly. What a jerk. See, that's the thing. When I tell people I wouldn't use Twitter if I didn't need to, for a job, it's reasons like this jerk, honestly.
You know what we need? We need more people like Jay and Silent Bob in this world.
What does that mean?
People who will attempt to get the movie canceled upon which they were based and from which they will make money just to go beat the crap out of people who talk trash about them on the internet.
And this entire month is Suicide Prevention Month. So, like, again, I see this as an opportunity. Like, there are so many opportunities that this gentleman does not use to promote his program. Like, it's just common sense. Like, for every Justin King hype video you see, he's just not the kind of guy you'd want being your front-facing man. He comes off as very gruff and very, you know, like, here's the thing. You can come off as gruff and you can come off as unapproachable. And while he has improved a little bit about his personableness over the course of time, Guess what? You're only allowed to do all that stuff when you win. Like, you need to kiss a little rear end around here, honestly. Honestly, like that's the part of it that Will needs to understand. Will Muschamp needs to understand, honestly. Like that to me is what you need to understand when it comes to trying to endear yourself. And here's another secret for this guy who is intent on defending Will Muschamp, because now I am angry, and I am going to go a little off script here. You want to know the reason why everybody was out to get Will Muschamp and fire Will Muschamp and have all these negative things to say about Will Muschamp after the loss to North Carolina? It's because Will Muschamp is a pain to work with when it comes to dealing with him in the media, and when you take a loss that's inexplicable in nature like that one, guess who's going to come out and defend you? I'll wait. Crickets. So when you act like an ass and you do stupid things like withhold people from talking and are vague about injuries and things of that nature, then guess what? When you lose a game to North Carolina, no one's going to come out here and defend you when they say that your job should be in jeopardy. Just saying. See, this is the thing. I feel empowered to say a lot of things that I probably didn't get a chance to say over the last 3 years. because people were worried about protecting access and things of that nature and relationships. Right now, I'm here, and I basically deal with this show like there's no tomorrow. So, pardon me if you think I might be jeopardizing something with regards to Will Muschamp, but guess what? We don't get anything anyway from him. We had to tweet. We tried to have him on the air before the season started. Had no problem getting him on the air in previous years. I asked for a request on the 20th of September. I get a letter back 10 days later saying, oh, well, no, the timing just doesn't work out. Well, I'm sorry. Did it work 10 days ago when I sent the request? For the record, Dabo said no as well. So again, that really, yes. So from that perspective, again, I am a little ticked off at both these universities and the ability to try and promote their program in a way that I think is better and on this fantastic platform that we have here that covers the entire upstate. One would think you'd want to be a part of that as somebody who has been fair over the course of the last 3 years and is now on the station of record when it comes to sports in the upstate.
Especially on a four-letter word branded station.
Correct.
Not a... You know, two guys working out of their mom's basement website.
Sorry, did I take that in a direction that you were uncomfortable? I don't mean to put you in a situation where you have to have your hand on the dump button a little bit.
No, you're fine.
The people
who will defend Will Muschamp in this situation are the same ones who defend booing injured players. It's just they're just jerks.
And the other part of this is I don't understand people who blindly defend their head coach for stupid things like that keep us from being able to do our job. And not only that, but again, it's I'm asking from the vein of wanting to hear more of this man's story. The fact that I had please, you know, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. The part of this that doesn't make a lot of sense is the fact that this could be something that helps and brings positive attention to the program. Like, no one's going to ask Ryan Helinski a tough question in this media market. Spoiler alert.
You know where this video or this audio goes? It goes on College Game Day.
Right.
When they do these heart-wrenching montages on College Game Day.
I believe they did one.
That's where they go.
They did one last year.
And that is incredible positive PR.
Exactly. The whole thing just stinks.
It's a negative thing that brings light to an even more negative thing, and it can be used for positive reasons.
Texter from the 864, I appreciate your stance on suicide prevention month. Suicide is a hush-hush thing no one talks about, and no one is willing to admit mental issues because of our culture. And please say dude more, Danny. Thank you, Danny. Texter from the 864, guy's a punk coward who hides behind a keyboard. He would never say that to Will's face. Yeah, you're right. Keyboard warrior, my man. I'm not going to tell you who. Read that man's profile, and you'll know everything you want about him.
Yeah. Well, this is. I'm proud of you for being professional enough not to put this guy's name or handle out there.
Right.
Because we can't. That's a petty bad look for people in our position.
I don't dox people, man.
Can't do that.
I don't dox people.
But it's out there. If anybody wants to go find it, if you know how, go get it.
I don't dox people. Someone tried to dox me the other day, man. I don't do that. I don't play that game. I say what I want. I mean what I say. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. Much lighter tinge today as opposed to last couple of segments. Hour from now, by the way, I will share my thoughts on what this country went through 18 years ago today. So I'm sure hope that you were able to stay and listen to that part of the show because I think it's important for you to hear. It's ESPN Upstate. Fifty-three-year-old Ellen McMillan has been banned from the Disney parks, all of them, by the way, for conduct that took place where she hit a taxi driver in the parking lot According to the Orange County Sheriff's Office, she started slapping the driver when she asked him for a cigarette. He told her he didn't have one. Authorities confronted McMillan. She was slurring her words, reeked of alcohol, and had trouble maintaining her balance. She told deputies she was intoxicated and would not cooperate with the investigation until she got a cigarette. She hurled profanities at nearby children, threw a purse on the ground when asked for ID, and also kicked the deputy twice in the leg as she was placed in the back of a squad car. Yeah, I'd ban her too if I was Disney. That's your non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. A California bill is now under review from the California Senate. It affects the NCAA at large. We'll tell you why next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.